John chapter 6. The last time we were together here in Dingwall, we saw Jesus feeding the multitudes. If you remember how we saw that he could take so little and do so much. And, you know, sometimes we feel very little. And yet God can do so much. He can. He can make change people's lives for eternity. He can change our hearts. And God often uses little things. Little is much when God is in it. And so, in John 6:14, following this wonderful miracle that happened, it says, "The men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, 'This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world.' And so, therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone." Why didn't he accept their offer of kingship? They wanted to make him a king. Why did they want to make him a king? Yeah, what other reason? What had just happened?
Such a big multitude.
Yes, and what had he just done? To get them free bread, right? Yeah. I'll take a king like that. He's going to get free bread every day? Yeah. That's why they wanted to make him a king. They didn't want to make him a king because they wanted to repent and they wanted to trust in the Lord. They wanted to turn from their sins. And sometimes people want Jesus for the wrong reasons. And that just doesn't work. And in this case, of course, what does Jesus do? He departed again to the mountain by himself alone. He didn't bow to that. He knew better. He knew what was really in the hearts of people, that they didn't want a king that would change their hearts. They wanted a king that would give them free bread. We'll find that a little later on as they pursue Jesus for more bread. But we find here as Jesus went with the disciples. Now, the disciples must have been excited. I'm sure they had a little babble on as they talked about the fact that Jesus had fed that multitude with those loaves and fish, and that they had been the ones giving that bread out, and how amazing it was. But when evening came down, his disciples went down to the sea, and they got into the boat and went over the sea towards Capernaum, and it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. Now, the Gospel of Mark tells us a little more of the story. And it says, "Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away." So we see that Jesus had planned for them to go into that boat, but he wasn't going with them. He had a plan. God always has a plan, by the way. He always has a plan. And sometimes you get sent into situations and you don't know what's coming. God knows. And tonight, as we look at the scripture, I want to encourage you that God always has a plan. And sometimes it's not your plan. So when he says he went, sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. So Jesus goes up on the mountain praying. The disciples, he sends them out in the boat. And as he sends them out in the boat, and I just want to give you a little picture of what roughly what the boat was like, because I don't know, today we think of boats, and this is actually was discovered by a couple of Jewish people. They didn't really have a copy of a boat that they would have had at the time of Christ. They didn't really know what one looked like because they all disappeared. And generally when they worked on a boat and they took pieces from one to build another one until, you know, there was nothing left. But a few years ago, I forget exactly when, I think it was in the 70s, it was 97, I believe, this boat was discovered. And it was because the Sea of Galilee has gotten lower than it has in history. And suddenly they found this boat. Now, this boat is about 27 feet long, which would be what? Maybe the width of this, the length of this building? Not much, a little less than that, right? 27 feet long, and it was 7.5 feet wide, which is not that wide, and it was 4.3 feet high, what was left of it there. That's not very high, right? So, you know, say 4 feet high, the sides would be like this, and that's the type of boat that the disciples would have gone in. 12 men in a boat. It would have been looked like that, yeah, similar to that. There would sometimes there was a mast in the middle for a sail, and there was no motors, and there would be oars, and they would have sets of oars on the boat, maybe three sets of oars or something like that. It could have been a little bit bigger, the one that the 12 disciples were in. 27-foot boat with 12, 13 people in it would be pretty crowded, I would say. Ambrose, you know more about the water than me, but that sounds kind of crowded to me. How about you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And remember that the Sea of Galilee rolls to the bottom. And you know, if you roll to the bottom, it's like if you're coming in a boat and in the harbor, and if it's not dredged right, the roll increases as you get into shallower water. And it can get so that you hit the bottom of the roll, and before you can ever get out of it, the wave comes up over the top of it, right? Well, Lake Ainslie is similar to that, and so is the Sea of Galilee, even though the Lake Ainslie is probably around the same size as the Sea of Galilee, actually. And it rolls to the bottom. And so when you get in a storm with one of these little boats, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. And and it's also very difficult to row against it. But that's the kind of boat that they would have been in. That doesn't look like much, does it? But anyway, it says here, when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and Jesus was alone on the land. And then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. So that would have been 3 hours would have been 9. That's the first watch. Midnight. 3 in the morning would be the fourth watch, I think. So it was the middle of the night. They weren't getting anywhere. They were rowing, and it tells us actually, I think in John's gospel, it says the wind was contrary, or is it in another one? A great wind was blowing, and it was actually contrary to them. They weren't getting, they were straining at rowing, for the wind was against them, it says in Mark 6:48. And so Jesus comes, he looks over and he sees them. But what I want to point out to you tonight is that God, Jesus, sent the disciples out knowing they would be in a difficult place. Have you ever gotten in a difficult place and wondered, how did I get here?
Yes.
Well, sometimes the Lord knows what he's doing. He sends us out into a storm. He deliberately sent them into a storm. And he sent them into a place where they couldn't go ahead. They, all their wisdom, and they were good sailors in that boat, all their wisdom couldn't get them forward. The thing is that Jesus sent them to the other side of the sea. They were straining at rowing because they were keeping on trying to do what Jesus wanted them to do, but they weren't getting anywhere. Have you ever been there? Yeah. Sometimes we all feel frustrated with our Christian experience. We know what God wants us to do. We try our best to do it, and it doesn't seem to work. Well, there's a beautiful picture here of showing us how unable we are. Yet we still need to obey the Lord and move forward. They obeyed the Lord. They moved forward, but they weren't getting anywhere. But that was okay because God was showing them, okay, I've got a better way. I've got a better plan. You need to know God's plan. And God's plan is to have Jesus come and visit you. God's plan is to welcome Jesus into your circumstance. It's to say, okay, Lord, I've done all the rowing I can do. I want you, you need to come in the boat here. You need to come with me in this because I can't go forward.
Surrender.
Pardon me?
Surrender.
That's right. And so Jesus is up on top of the mountain. He's praying and he's watching them. And what he's doing is he's watching them rowing. He's watching them struggling and he waits longer. Now, I know sometimes when we're in a struggle, we want God to come immediately and fix the problem, right? That's the way we want it. It's like Lazarus when he was dead. Before he died, his mother, his sister, and his two sisters, Mary and Martha, sent for Jesus, said, Lord, come, your brother is sick to death. Your friend is sick to death. Our brother, come and rescue him. And Jesus stayed there 3 more days. He waited until he was good and dead. That must have been frustrating for Mary and Martha. It would be for me. If I sent for Jesus and the servant came back, you knew that if the servant came back and told you, that Jesus would have had plenty of time to come back too. But he didn't come. He waited until he was good and dead. And sometimes we go through trials and it seems as if God is not answering. It seems as if the answer is not coming. It seems as if it's never going to come. But in all of that, we learn to trust the Lord. Did Jesus know what was going on? He knew exactly what was happening out in that lake. He knew exactly what they were struggling with, but he allowed it to happen until the time he moved off of the mountain. And what was he doing that was so important that he wasn't down there, you know, rescuing his disciples? What was he doing? What was Jesus doing? He was praying. He was praying. Yes, he was testing, but he was praying. He was in the will of the Father. He was waiting on God. He was trusting the Lord because he knew there was the right time to go. You know, there's always a right time for things. I remember hearing a story by Watchman Nee years ago, who was an excellent swimmer, and there was a couple of guys. He was standing with somebody else, and this other guy was swimming in the water, and he got in trouble. And he began to thrash about and scream for help, and the guy that was with Watchman Nee, who's a Chinese person, the guy was with him, said, he was after him, jump in, save him, and he wasn't doing anything. And this guy was getting mad because he couldn't swim, so he didn't want to jump in and save him. And the guy was like, help. And Watchman, he was standing calmly on the shore waiting. And the guy was like, get in there. Why don't you get in there? And finally, when the guy finally stops thrashing about, then Mr. Nee jumps in the water, grabs him, pulls him in, and takes him into the shore. In the meantime, the other fellow's livid at him. He said, why didn't you go in right away to save him? Couldn't help him, he said. Couldn't help him. I had to wait till he was done. When he was done, then I could save him. If I went after him when he was like that, he'd have pulled me under the water. I wouldn't have been any good to him at all. He knew just what he was doing. He knew there was just the right time to step into the situation. And I tell you, friends, God knows the right time to step in. We think the time is always now. We think that God should act immediately in every circumstance right away. But God knows what he's doing. Trust him. Keep on moving forward, trusting God, because he'll come and he'll visit you at just the right time. Trust him with it. Trust him with every circumstance. And sometimes circumstances can be so difficult, and we wonder, have you ever wondered, you know, God, how come you don't answer right away? How come things don't happen right away, Lord? Oh, God is in control, and God knows what he's doing. Jesus was in a relationship with the Father, and he was waiting till just the right time. And I don't know what was going through the disciples' mind at that time. It doesn't tell us. But I can assure you that they were wondering, the guy who fed the multitude, Jesus stayed behind and he sent us out in this storm. What's going on here? And all of a sudden, something happens. When evening came, and the boat was out in the middle of the water, and Jesus alone on the land, and he saw them straining at the oars. That's in Mark's gospel. And it says in John's gospel, so when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, and that's rowing against the wind, that is not easy, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat. So they were basically almost all night long rowing. And they only got 3 or 4 miles out. And all of a sudden they see Jesus walking on the sea. Well, they were afraid. I guess you would be too. Because this was extraordinary. This was not what they would have expected. They weren't expecting him to come walking on the sea. Would you be? They figured they were in it on their own. They were stuck to it, and that was the end of the story. There didn't seem to be one way out of this one. They were where they were, and there was nothing they could do. And suddenly, Jesus appears. Suddenly, things change. And I want to tell you that when we walk with the Lord, and when we find ourselves in trial or trouble, when circumstances seem overwhelming, Jesus can step in at any moment and everything will change. Everything changes when Jesus comes. Trust the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Over and over again in the Bible, you will hear those words, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Wait again, I say, on the Lord. But Lord, are you ever going to show up? But Lord, we're getting tired. But Lord, it doesn't seem like anything's ever going to happen. But Lord, we're caught, we're stuck. And we're often like that man who's screaming and hollering for help and thrashing our arms and we've done all we can. But all the while, Jesus is saying, trust me, trust me, trust me. Oh, my friends, I want you to trust the Lord. Philip was tested, and how much money do we have to buy these people bread? And Jesus was testing all the disciples here in the fact that he could come and meet their need and be with them. And so, suddenly, he says to them, it is I. Do not be afraid. It is me. Because at first, in another gospel, I think it's Matthew's gospel, they cried out and said, it's a ghost. It's a ghost. There's a spirit here. They were afraid. But he says, no, it's me. And actually, in Matthew's gospel, it tells us that Peter says to him, Lord, if that's you, bid me come out to you. And that's when Peter steps out of the boat and walks to Jesus in the middle of the storm. Same story. But we're not going to dwell on that part of the story here this time because we're in John's gospel. But that was part of that whole picture where Peter took the extra step of faith and said, wow, if that's really Jesus and he's walking on water, give me a crack at that, Lord. Let me try that. And Jesus says, okay, Peter, you come. And Peter stepped out of the boat and he experienced the power of God to stand on the wind and the waves. And I don't know if you see the pictures of that, Jesus walking on the waves. Remember, these waves were probably somewhere between the 4, 5, 6 foot range, which is high for when your gunnels are 4 feet, right? And choppy, short, choppy waves, because that's the kind of shallow waves produce. They're very close together. And Jesus is walking on these waves. I don't know how he did it. Was he serenely stepping, or was he stepping up over them? I don't know, because they would likely be breakers. But nevertheless, he walked on the waves. Yes.
What you call surface waves.
Yeah. You're amazed at that.
He said, you know, if you're God, if you're Jesus, let me walk on water.
Yeah.
Doesn't that mean he had a lack of faith still?
Well, he did have unbelief partway through, because all of a sudden he took his eyes off Jesus and he started looking at the wind and the waves and he panicked and he says, Lord, save me. And Jesus picked him up and he said, why did you doubt? You have little faith. You could have kept on walking on this sea. Yes, and same as you and me. We too, can I ask you, since you've been a Christian, have you ever panicked? Have you ever become afraid? Have you ever found yourself not knowing what to do and full of fear and every other gamut of the whole matter? Have you not?
Yes.
Sure you have. Now Jesus is there. And he's telling you, don't be afraid, you have little faith. He's not rebuking you for it. He's encouraging you to believe and trust him. Just as Peter, though he walked on the water, he failed. When he looked at the wind and the waves, when he looked at the problem, suddenly he became overwhelmed. We do too. God understands that. But he's calling you and me to walk on water. He's calling me and you to trust him in the storms. And he's calling me and you to trust him to get us where we need to go. Because when we look at this story, we find something. They willingly received him into the boat. When they realized who he was, they said, okay, Jesus, we'll take you here. Come on in the boat. And what happened? Immediately, what happened? Immediately, the boat was at the land where they were going. Now, here's the lesson in that. What they tried to do by strenuous effort, Jesus did it for them. They did their best. They got as far as they could, and they could go no farther. But Jesus immediately transported. See, there's a double miracle here. Not only the walking on water, but it was an incredible miracle that instantly they were transported. Beam me up, Scotty. Never mind Star Trek. Long before Star Trek was ever invented, Jesus beamed the boat, himself, the disciples, and all of them instantly to the shore where they were supposed to be going to. They were only halfway there. Immediately. Have you ever thought about that miracle in the midst of this one? That was a great miracle. It was instant. Didn't matter how big the waves were then. It didn't matter how strong they were, how much they were against them. None of that mattered, because instantly they were all transported to the place that they were going to. Immediately, the boat was at the land where they were going. The miracle of God. And I want you to know that God wants us to trust him when things are going the wrong way. When the wind is contrary to you in your life, trust God. You will find him trustworthy. And you will also find him able to get you to the destination that you need to go to. He will get you there. Sometimes we don't know how to get there. I mean, I don't know about you, but if we're out in the middle of the boat, suddenly Jesus is in the boat, you know, you might start saying to him, well, I'm glad you walked here, but we've got a long journey ahead. And, you know, how could Jesus explain to them? Well, you know, I got this, the physics are, you know, it's going to take, it's 3 or 4 more miles to get over there. But I'm going to, you know, just instantly you're going to be there. That doesn't make any sense to us. I tell you, the way God works sometimes doesn't make sense to us. You can't figure it all out. You don't know the end from the beginning. We don't see it all. But God saw it all before it ever happened. Jesus was on the mountain looking at the situation. Jesus saw their struggles. He saw their situation. He planned to go there at just the right time. He did that great miracle of walking out on the water to be with them. I can't imagine what was going through their minds as they were rowing away and getting nowhere. And then suddenly they see Jesus and they just can't believe it. And it goes farther. Then suddenly Peter's walking on the water. Then they're all in the boat together and suddenly they're on dry land. Bang. Everything changes when Jesus comes. So my encouragement to you today is trust the Lord. If you're in the storm, trust the Lord. If you don't know what's going to happen next, trust the Lord. He knows. He knows. And He has every item, every circumstance sweetly planned. Trust the Lord. We don't know what the journey's going to be. We don't know how it's going to end up. You know, Marie and I have talked about that recently, you know, because the cancer can come back. We've talked about it and we've wondered, you know, how's this, if it comes back and, you know, how you're going to, how's it going to happen physically? We don't know any of that, but we know one thing. And oh, I'll tell you, what a wonderful thing to know this. Jesus is holding our hand. Jesus is watching the circumstances. Jesus is going to carry us. And oh, listen, what a confidence that can bring you. What a peace can come. Even if we're in the middle of that storm, and even if we're not there yet, we can imagine about that storm. I can trust Jesus Christ will come, and He will get us safely to the other side. He will take us through. He'll do the same for you. Remember that. I don't know if there's a storm coming in your life. I hope not. I don't know if you're in one now, but whatever it is, Jesus Christ already knows about it. He already has a plan, and He'll get us there safely to the other side. That's really all I have to share tonight, but I want to encourage you in your walk. Trust the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the Bible. Thank You for the Word of God. Thank You, Lord, for the direction that You can give to us. You're the one that sent them out in the boat, Lord, and sometimes You sent us out into stormy seas, but I thank You that You never abandon us. I praise You that You come to us at just the right time. And so I ask, O God, that You will give each of us a little more confidence in You today. That, Lord, we'll be not quick to doubt You, but that we'll trust You. Trust You with the storms, Lord, in families. Trust You with the storms, O God, in sickness or disease. And trust You, Lord, with the storms of finances and everything else that can come against us. We declare Jesus Christ is Lord, and He's our Savior, and we're trusting Him. Because I have no doubt, Lord Jesus, that You were on that mountain praying to the Father for those very disciples, that they would be well looked after. And I thank You that You're praying for us. You ever live, Lord Jesus, to make intercession for us. Thank You, Lord, that You're in a bigger mountain than that. You're in heaven itself, interceding for every one of us here. I give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.